I mean, my background is in coronary physiology, and I've always been interested in the relation between function and structure. To demonstrate where it is about, here's a simple flow registration in the coronary artery, and you do an occlusion of a few seconds, and you have a tremendous increase in flow in response. We call that reactive hyperemia. It just demonstrates the wide range of oxygen consumption that can be dealt with by supply of blood to the coronary system. And how is that accomplished? And what is going wrong when blood flow is compromised? And basically, it always compromises regional shortages. So, I mean, if you have a total occlusion, then of course you compromise the whole perfusion area, but otherwise it only will be local areas in the heart. And to understand where and why problems arise, we need to understand the relation between structure and function. And a simple illustration of that is that when you have a partial occlusion in the coronary artery, that infarction will especially start at the subendocardium, and it's very heterogeneous. So it's not just the whole heart that's doing it, it's different over the heart muscle, and therefore we have to understand how the structure leads to these patterns. What did we do 20 years ago? Well, we made casts of the coronary system, injecting Batsons, and then took off small branches like these. And what we did was then measuring the lengths and diameters of those branches. And those diameters are particularly important because that's where the vasoactivity is. There's where the blood flow is controlled at that level. And then we did experiments on small isolated arterial segments. And then the hope was, of course, if we could reconstruct this whole coronary tree and then put all those properties in those segments, that we would know how the coronary circulation would be controlled. Well, the disappointing factor was, the disappointing step was that we ended up with statistical relationships between diameter and lengths, and diameters of daughters and mother vessels, and basically the whole 3D information was lost. So we went into detail and then had some statistical models. So we decided to do something else. Basically, first we bought a cryomicrotome, but had not good enough resolutions and not good enough mechanical stabilities, and we decided to build one ourselves. It has a guillotine principle, so if this is the tissue here, then slices are cut off. It is really meant for a whole heart, large heart preparation, so it's about 8 centimeters in diameter that we can cover. This is a camera, recently obtained camera, 4,000 by 4,000 pixels. Here is the light source, and there are all kind of filter wheels that make that we can measure a different fluorescence colors. This is a heart injecting with the same Batson as we had before. You see here vaguely the cast material sitting there. If you add up a few images, I should say take the maximum intensity projector, you see more structure, not with this light, but I think we can. That would help, but I think then you have to close the windows, is it? Ah, a little bit. We will see in the next one. So this kind of detailed structures are observable. This is in a goat heart. You see here, this is about 0.2 by 0.2 millimeters, this small block. And so the smallest vessels you see here are about 20 micrometers. And you see that with this method you can obtain a high degree of detail, although limited to vessels larger than 20, 30 micrometers. Another thing we can do is add colored microspheres to the heart, fluorescently colored microspheres. We can detect 5 different colors now, and these are all the overlapping, I mean, spectra of the different emitting lights of the microspheres, but with filter settings and manipulation of the images, we can distinguish 5 different colors. and in principle that could be increased, I believe. And here you see, you don't really see the contour of the heart, but you see some pixels there in the cutting plane. And what we do is find those positions, X, Y, Z positions in the heart, and then can do calculations on it. So this is an image of what happens. These are what you see. So we have the whole structure. All those segments are found, are defined by center lines, finding the center lines. The center lines are then imaged. What you see here, the dots are microspheres. You see some microspheres in a different territorium, but that is the result of collateral flow. So here you zoom in, this is the resulting cast reconstructed. These are all the segmented branches. These are one color microsphere, the other color microsphere. And so this is what you get. So basically we are now able to do end structure and get some flow information, although it is of course a static flow information in few conditions. And the diameter is always rather static. Then what we did was developed some programs to find automatically collateral connections within the heart. Here you see in the plane something with two colors in that plane, and basically that in this heart we use two colors of plastic, which we don't like to do anymore because green is a nice color to use, red is a terrible color to use because there's something wrong with the. Let me see if I can still get this to move. Yeah, because the red color gives not such sharp images as the green one. So we decided to find those collateral pathways automatically. Here you see, if you look well, different colors. And here you will see, if you would look right, one pathway going through that plane and going to the other. So we can detect and quantify now the amount of collateral connections within the heart. Then the next step is, here you see the different colors of different subtrees, and each subtree is defined by branching off a larger epicardial tree. So we can now define a piece of tissue that is perfused by only one branching artery, but one artery that goes into the myocardium. And in those branches, then, you can count the amount of microspheres. So this is rather recent, so I don't hope you look too good at the numbers, but it really illustrates what we are trying to do. So this is the structure of a 2 by 2 centimeters piece out of the heart. These are the microspheres around that structure. These are the segmented elements in that structure. And then what you can do is you can plot here the diameter of the vessel. So we do it 200 micrometers. These are the number of microspheres that go through a diameter of a vessel. But then statistically, I mean, so these are all vessels of 120 micrometers, of this here, 120 micrometers, and then bint, 80 micrometers, and then bint, and the total number of microspheres that go through there. And then, of course, in average, so of course, the larger vessels have more microspheres. This is probably an artificial measurement here. I will not go into detail. Then if you do that, then you can calculate the shear as a function of diameter. Because the shear is just something like the flow through a vessel divided by the diameter to the power 3 and then some other factor dealing with viscosity. But basically, this is the average shear in a vessel with that diameter. And as I said, we have to be careful, but we see here that shear is increasing if you go to the smaller vessels. And if this hump is really science, we still have to see. But it is not impossible because it's known that the vessels smaller than 50 micrometers really possess different properties than the larger ones. But it's exciting to see that. Then the other possibility we have to do, that we can do, is study some pathology. What we see here is a heart with a hypertrophic myopathy. And please look here at the subendocardial plexus. You see that this is rather abnormal, that at the subendocardium there is such a dense vessel structure. Here you see that again a little bit in more detail. This blue here is collagen of the trabeculae of the valve. And it is rather surprising that those subendocardial structures are never used in the diagnostic process of the heart. I mean, they say, well, the heart is dilating, it's failing. That must go with extravascularization in the subendocardium. But I have not read of any techniques, for example, this MRI, that would specifically look at those perfusion disturbances that occur at the subendocardium. Then back to some old measurements. Perfusion in the heart is dependent strongly on function. Normally, coronary blood flow goes up when we have exercise. That has to do with the smooth muscle. If you relax the smooth muscle with adenosine, or you do it when with ischemia, I mean, if you have a stenosis, you reduce the pressure and then you have vasodilation to compensate for that pressure drop, then the flow, the perfusion becomes dependent on mechanical factors of heart function. And what is plotted here is in a study where we had a full dilation with adenosine. We measured the diastolic time fraction. This is the subendocardium, this is the subapicardium. This is the conductance at the subendocardium, and this is the conductance in the subapicardium. And we see here when the heart rate increases, so diastolic time decreases, we see a strong lowering of the subendocardial conductance, so perfusion, depending on the pressure level that we have. So this is measured in roughly by cutting the myocardium in three parts, and it indicates that there is a strong interrelationship between position in the heart muscle, function of the heart, and perfusion conditions. And I think what we hope to do is with the cardiomyocrotome studies to do these kind of studies, but then in much more detail and much more geometrical detail than we have then been able to do that until now. So I'd like to acknowledge especially Jeroen and Pepijn. I mean, I'm sure you saw their posters yesterday. We did a collateral study with Mark Post and Henny Schulte in Maastricht. The microspheres were injected in the experimental cardiology laboratory in Utrecht. And here, if you wait a little moment, you see two perfusion areas at both sides, and that make a little connection there. So that is that one collateral that was detected, and so you can zoom in on that property. Thank you very much.
The stability from one individual to the other one of this network of arteries and things. Do we know anything?
There's of course a very large. There will be a very large difference between different individuals, but there also will be similarities. And what they are, we still have to discover. I mean, we really have worked the last 2 years to get what we have now, and now the time of science is coming. So basically what we have to do is look at simple hearts and look at the differences.
So I would like also to follow up on the same question. Have you tried to look at some specific regions of importance like SI node or AU junction, where indeed there is a great degree of variability? So we try to conduct experiments with coronary perfused preparations from human hearts, SI node and AU node, on really tremendous variability.
Yeah, we have... I mean, those studies are now possible to be done. So, and we're certainly aware of those heterogeneities at that level. The problem is, if you only have microspheres, you need 400 microspheres in an area to have a statistically sound calculation. So, it will be difficult to study heterogeneity in this way at a very small location. But Jim Bessemer has used all kind of other labeling techniques that, that may allow that to do that in a little bit more detail.
Do you see if it will be possible at some point to correlate the microvasculature that you see here in great detail to some other structure in the heart to better understand what drives the angiogenesis and the distribution of vessels along certain patterns, perhaps between layers of heart muscle, between gaps in the tightness of the structure where they reside?
Yeah, we have, I didn't really dare to show that now, but we have some incidental measurements where we could find detailed structure of the sheets that also has been shown by the Oakland groups in the smaller hearts. But we still have to develop the coloring technique to get that more reliable and more reproducible out of it. But that's in the end, of course, the goal. I mean, to have and your mechanical structure and your vascular structure all together in one shot, in one go.
Perhaps learn something about why they are located where they are located.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay, well, thank you so much.